This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. 1 Timothy 2 and 1 says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, that's why folks, I had these made. Pray first. Today's the last day to get them. Pray first. Pray first. But why, Pastor? Because it's biblical. It says, first of all, prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And the scripture that I'm going to preach from today for about an hour and 15 minutes is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, get that, folks. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. So the Bible teaches socialism. No, it doesn't. It doesn't teach communism. Nobody took from them. They willingly gave. Nobody took. They willingly gave because they wanted to help fellow believers. Let's pray. Lord, I bow my head before you. I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Hide us in the cross of Calvary that people might see Jesus. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I remember, folks, I came to the church in 1990. And in 1991, something happened. The Persian Gulf War took place. Persian Gulf War took place because an Iraqi leader by the name of Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, the country of Kuwait. And America, along with a group of allied nations, went to war with Saddam Hussein in 1991. I was the pastor of this church. You know what's amazing, folks? It was announced that America is at war. And most of the people had never experienced that in their lifetime. America is at war. We didn't know how many of our young men and women were gonna literally die in that war. But I noticed something. When that happened, I started seeing people at church that I hadn't seen in a long time. I started seeing people coming to the altar and praying that I hadn't seen in the altar before. Because our country went back to prayer. We went back to praying and seeking God. The air war started, but what was interesting, we knew eventually the ground war would take place. And chaplains said that they were warned before time to be prepared to minister because thousands of our forces would die once the ground war began. Because once the ground war began, the Iraqis had planted landmines in the desert. We didn't know where those landmines were. And many of the Allied forces, the landmines would blow them up once the ground war started. But testimony said the soldiers got down on their knees and prayed. Mamas and daddies back home got down on their knees and prayed. And something happened, ladies and gentlemen. It's all documented. Before the ground war invasion happened, something happened that doesn't happen in the desert. It rained. And when it rained, it exposed those landmines. And when those landmines were exposed, they were able to clip and cut those wires that dismantled those landmines. You said, Pastor, how long did the war last? It only lasted 42 days. 42 days. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. 96 soldiers of our soldiers actually died in action. What was supposed to be thousands on top of thousands. Pastor, what do you believe made the difference? I'll tell you what I believe made the difference. I believe prayer is what made the difference. I truly believe when we pray, things happen. Andrew Murray said these words. He said, "When I work, but when I pray, God works." See, prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. This is what I found in my life. When I pray, coincidences happen. When I pray, coincidences happen. But when I don't pray, coincidences don't happen. What happens, Pastor, when people pray? Well, verse 31 of the text says this. It says, and when they prayed. And when they prayed. I'm not talking about Billy Graham. I'm not talking about Mother Teresa. I'm not talking about Corrie Ten Boom. I'm not talking about super saints. I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. What happens when we pray? I want you to see this because I want it to motivate you to pray. I want this series to motivate you to pray like you've never prayed before. I want you to pray about the series that's coming on the end times because I believe it can be the greatest series in the history of our church. I believe more people can come to know Christ than any other preaching that we've ever done. Pastor, what happens when we pray? Five quick things. Number one, get this, folks. When we pray, we perceive the presence of God. You say, Pastor Benny, I would really like to feel God. I'm very going through a very difficult time. I just, Pastor, really like to feel God. Well, I want you to notice verse 31 says something. Get this, folks. It says, when they prayed, the place was shaken. When they prayed, the place was shaken. Now, understand something. It doesn't say the place was shaken and then they prayed. It doesn't say the place was shaking and then they prayed. It said they prayed and the place was shaken. The problem is many times, folks, we wait till there's been a shaking in our lives to pray. We wait till there's been a disaster in our lives. We wait till there's been an emergency in our lives. We wait till there's been a hazard in our lives. We wait till our heart's been torn out. And then we decide perhaps we need to pray. But the Bible says they prayed and then the place was shaken. I want you to understand something, folks. Your motive for prayer. This is going to disappoint you. Your motive for prayer can't be need-driven. I'll expound. Your motive for prayer can't be need-driven. Because if your motive for prayer is need-driven, when you don't have a lot of needs, you won't be doing much praying. See, your motivation for prayer has got to be your relationship with God. Your motivation for prayer has got to be, I want to know God on a different level. I want to spend time with Him because I want to get to know His Word and I want to get to know His ways. We get to know, folks, God through spending time with Him. Get this. To be much for God, you've got to be much with God. To be much for God, you've got to be much with God. Look what Psalms 116 says. Get this, folks. It says, I love the Lord. And folks, by the way, I unapologetically love Jesus. Don't you? I unapologetically love Jesus. There's never been a friend like the Lord's always been. Amen? He's the only one that will never leave you nor forsake you. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. God says, when you pray, I hear you. Now get this, folks. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call unto him as long as I live. Let me ask you something, folks. Have you ever, I want to ask you something. It's just, have you ever talked to somebody and you felt like they were paying no attention to what you had to say? You say, well, it's never happened to me. You ought to preach one Sunday. You ever talk to people and you can tell they're not listening. They're just waiting for their turn to respond. Ouch. But look what the Bible says. He inclined his ear. You know what that means? That means he leans in. Oh, goodness, folks, that's worth the price of admission. It means like when you want to talk to God, you have his undivided attention. You say, oh, God, I want to talk to God. God just leans in. He says, I'm just so interested in what they've got to say. Glory be to God. I'm just so interested in what they've got to say. I want you to understand something, folks. When we pray, we perceive the presence of God, but oh, it gets better. When we pray, we receive the power of God. Look what verse 31 says. Get this, folks. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Get this, folks. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, wait. These people, get this. They were filled with the Holy Ghost right here. But if you go back to Acts 2 and 4, look what it says. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the very same people. They were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2:4, but when they prayed in Acts 4:31, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Get this, folks. Yesterday's experience is never suffice for today's challenges. Yesterday's experience is never suffice for today's challenges. Babe Ruth, the great baseball player, said, yesterday's home run won't win today's game. What's I'm saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying, folks. When we pray, apparently, whether I understand it totally, probably don't, or whether you do either, but when we pray, God gives us fresh fillings of his power. When we pray, ladies and gentlemen, we experience, I'm not trying to make it deep. I'm not trying to make it complicated. I'm really a very simple guy. But when we pray, we experience fresh fillings of the power of God. That we just pray and God, fresh and anew, fills us with his power. You say, Pastor, where do you get that from? Well, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen. Look here, this is not something I'm proud of. It's not something I'm proud of. It's not something I'm proud of. But I know what it is to be drunk. And it's not something I'm proud of. And I'll tell you this much. I know this much about it. To stay drunk, you got to keep drinking. To stay drunk, you got to keep drinking. And folks, to stay filled with the power and presence of God, you got to keep praying. You got to keep praying. You got to keep praying. You got to keep trusting God. Be not drunk with wine. Why no? He said, because I want you to be filled with the Spirit. I want you to be filled. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a continual. It's in the continual tense there. I want you to continue to be filled with my Spirit. Folks, I want to tell you something. Unless there is within us, that which is above us will soon yield to that which is around us. We need a power beyond ourselves. We need a wind from elsewhere. We need a presence that's beyond us. Now get this, So, well, Pastor, Ephesians 5:18 says to be filled. How do I know if I'm filled? Well, first of all, if you jump down to, that's Ephesians 5:18. If you jump down to verse 19, look what it says. There'll be gladness. There'll be gladness. Let's go. Wake up! Look what verse 19 says. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does that tell us, folks? Let me tell you something. Don't tell me how you're so spirit-filled and how much praying you're doing if you're always complaining. Don't tell me how spirit-filled you are when you're always fussing. Can't get a parking place down there at Rock Springs Church. Don't tell me how spirit-filled you are when you say, now, these seats right here are saved. Hey, the seats may be saved, but I wonder if you are. What do you mean saving seats? There's no saved seats. Let me tell you something. I'll sit in the floor for a lost man or woman to have a seat to sit on that they might come to know Jesus Christ. God help us. Let me tell you something, folks. Oh, I tell you, what a day. Anyway, you get this, folks. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, now if you're always running around complaining about this, complaining about that, you're upset about this, you're upset about that, you're not praying enough. Because if you were praying more, you'd be filled with God's Spirit. You'd be filled with God's power. See, because when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's gladness in your heart. But not only is there gladness in your heart, look what verse 20 says. It says not only is there gladness, but there's gratefulness in your heart. There's gratefulness in your heart. Look what verse 20 says. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. When we're spirit-filled, we not only have gladness, we not only have gratefulness, but look here, we have graciousness. Ephesians 5:21, look what it says. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What's it talking about? It's talking about a husband and wife. Submitting, being gracious one to another. Folks, if you can be a good Christian at home, you can be a good Christian anywhere. It's talking about being gracious. One man said to his wife, I don't know why God made you so beautiful yet so dumb. She said, well, he made me beautiful so you would love me. He made me dumb so I'd love you. Smith Wigglesworth was a preacher from days gone by. And Smith Wigglesworth, he before he got saved, he was a plumber and he was mean. And Smith Wigglesworth's wife would go to church. He didn't want her to go to church. And when she'd come in from church, he'd lock the door. He'd lock her out. And she'd get on the back porch and pray for old Smith and sleep on the back porch. Folks, there's certain things you can only do through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's certain things you can only do through the power. She'd sleep on the back porch. The next morning, he'd unlock the door. He'd let her in. She'd say, Smithy, honey, what do you want me to fix you for breakfast? Old Smith Wigglesworth said, I knew there had to be a power behind her. There had to be a power beyond her, because you can't do that in your own power. And he said, I want what she's got. And he prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into his life. Graciousness comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, get this, folks. Understand something. We perceive the presence of God. We receive the power of God. But there's a third thing. we achieve the purpose of God. We achieve the purpose of God. Look what verse 31 says. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Look. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You understand something? You understand something? God shows you what you're supposed to do when you pray. God shows you what you're supposed to do when you pray. Let me give you the fourth thing. We believe the promises of God. We believe the promises of God. Look what verse 32 says. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Get this. Effective prayer happens through unity. They were of one heart and they were of one soul. You understand something, folks. Effective prayer happens through unity. Effective prayer happens through unity. Look, that little church that's up on the hill right up there, I remember years ago preaching a revival in that little church. And I'd preached. And after the service was over, the people started greeting one another. And the pastor said, "This is awesome." I said, "What's awesome about it?" It was a lady. And she said, "How they're loving one another." I thought, "Well, I thought that's the way it's supposed to be." She said, "Pastor, you don't understand. They'd meet in the aisle and they wouldn't speak." Get this. Two people can't be right with God and wrong with each other. But she said, tonight God has came, and through this message they've reconciled. God bear me record. The next night I preached. A man walked down the aisle, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And the pastor said, "We've been praying for him for years. We've been praying for him for years." Effective prayer happens through unity. In Acts 1:14, they were in one accord in prayer. In Acts 2:1, they were in one accord. And in Acts 2:2, the Holy Spirit came down. What will hinder my prayer? Get this, folks. I'll tell you what will hinder your prayer. Is unresolved conflicts. Matthew 5 verses 23 and 24. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and now rememberest thy brother having aught with thee, leave thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Get this, folks. If you've got bitterness, unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, it will hinder God from working in your life. The greatest blessings in your life will be tied to forgiveness. God said, when you come and pray and you realize that person you have discord with, reconciliation's not your responsibility. But your responsibility is to try. And when you try, it opens the windows of heaven. There's a second thing. It's unresponsive husbands and wives. Unresponsive husbands and wives. I heard that the average woman uses 25,000 words a day. The average man uses 12,500. One man said, "My wife and I had words, I didn't get to use mine." I heard about one couple that she could just eat him alive. She was faster on her feet. She could just eat him alive when they got into a situation. He said, "I can't take it anymore. He said, I'm going out of town for a few days. He got a briefcase, put $5,000 in it, said, the daughter and I are going on a trip. I'm taking her with me because she'll accuse me of things if I don't. They got on an airplane. They hadn't been on a plane 5 minutes. The plane was hijacked. The hijacker said, give me all your valuables. Handed the briefcase. His daughter started taking her rings off. He started taking his watch off, handed it all down. A few minutes later, the man just put his head in his hands and began to cry. And then he heard these words. Don't cry, Daddy. Don't cry, Daddy. And he looked at her daughter. He looked at his daughter, and her mouth was protruded. She started opening her mouth, and she'd put his watch and all the rings. She said, don't cry, Daddy. And he just put his head down in his hands. And she said, Daddy, no need to cry. He said, you don't understand. If your mother had been here, we could have saved the briefcase. Years ago, I was a pastor in a church. God bear me record. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, you and Miss Barbara ever fuss? No, but sometimes we have intensive fellowship. The other day, it was kind of happening. I said, Barbara, we got to meet in the middle. If you admit you're wrong, I'll admit I'm right. We've got to meet in the middle. The early days, I don't even remember what it was over. But I said, I think I'll leave. She said, make yourself happy. And I had a little old pickup Dodge Ram pickup truck, and I went out of that door and I slammed that door. I said, I want her to know I'm mad. I slammed that door. And I got in that pickup truck. And man, I spun out of that drive. Gravel's going everywhere. I wanted her to know that I was an upset guy. What's bad? I was a pastor. And I went to my church, and there was a verse I was hunting. It was Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I'm the leader of this house. That verse didn't mean as much when I found out when it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own. That little word own means special. And I found out there won't be much problem submitting if I'll take care of the special. I thought the ladies would respond better than that, but anyway. But I was hunting that verse and I didn't find it, but I did find 1 Peter 3:7. And once I found that verse, I said, Barbara, come up. We had a little upstairs to the house there. Literally just a little place we lived in. You could throw your handkerchief down in the floor and have carpet wall to wall. But I said, listen, look here. Let's come up here. I said, look at this verse, Barbara. Likewise, you husbands, dwell them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I said, Barbara, understand something. You want to have a baby. Understand something. I want to grow this church. And Barbara, it's not going to happen till we get our relationship right. It's not going to happen till we get our relationship right. Because you got to understand, disharmony hinders our prayers. I know it's quiet, but I'm going to preach anyway. You can't sow seed when it's windy. Disharmony hinders our prayers. Hey, look, folks, I'm going to tell you how much I believe it. Look here, I've been doing this a long time. I've been your pastor for decades. There's been many Sunday mornings. Look, get this. Can I just be real with us? Will you stay with me just a few minutes? Look here. The enemy will attack you on Sunday morning. He'll attack you and you'll fuss all the way to church. and then you'll pop out. Hey, brother, God bless you. God is good, amen. And you followed all the way to church. She ain't ready yet. Listen, and there's been many Sunday mornings I'm in the office and I call back, Barbara, this is Benny. I know who you are. God bear me record, this is the truth, folks. Barbara, I want to get things right. I've done a lot of things wrong in my life, folks, but I've never stood in the pulpit when it wasn't right. Because I have such a fear of God to know that God can't bless the people. Because blessing, God blessings comes through unity, folks. And God's blessing on your family and on your children. Folks, I'm sorry, I preached too long on this. But it comes through that husband and wife being unified and having unity in that home. Amen? I'm done. I've preached too long. But lastly, we relieve the people of God. Verse 34 and verse 35 says, After they prayed, they started taking their resources and they started helping people. After they prayed, somebody said, we need to get a trailer and we need to put groceries in it. Because we need to help people. So by the way, folks, what we're doing is just what the early church did. I'm done. I close with this story. Every morning on Sunday morning when I get out of my vehicle, and if you men that want to be a part, anybody, you're welcome to. But when I get out of my vehicle, I walk into a room, and I sit down, and a group of men start laying hands on me. And they start praying for me. A group of men start laying hands on me. And they pray for me. Because see, folks, I'm still that old school. Without the power of God, it doesn't matter. Hey, I thank God for that wall and how it helps worship and enhances and all. But folks, let me tell you something. We can have all the walls. We can have all the technology in the world. Without the power of God, it doesn't matter. Without the presence of God, it doesn't matter. And most churches start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. Because they don't have the presence and power of God. Look here, you've got children you can't talk to. Only God can talk to them. You've got situations you can't work out. Only God can work it out. You've got physical things that you said, Pastor, I just don't know. Only God can handle it. Only God can do it. God brings us to the point of desperation that He might bring us to the point of dependence, that He might bring us to the point of deliverance. Why, Pastor, do you come and get down on your knees? Because there was a preacher by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. He was just a young man. And he goes to a church in Philadelphia. And he wasn't a great preacher. And an old man in the congregation, he noticed that this was a distinguished church, and he noticed that J. Wilbur Chapman wasn't a great preacher. But he said, son, I want you to know something. God has led me to pray for you. So every Sunday morning, I'm going to pray for you. And he started out praying for him. And after a week or two, he came to him and said, two more men want to join me. They want to pray for you. And J. Wilbur Chapman said the 2 turned into 10, and then it turned into 20, and then it turned into 50, and then it turned into 200. And J. Wilbur Chapman said every time I went to the pulpit, I knew the anointing of God was going to be there. Because I knew that people were praying for me. I knew that people were praying for me. And he said, I stayed the pastor of that church 3 years. And in 3 years' time, 1,100 individuals came to faith in Jesus Christ. Because men prayed. Tell you something, folks. Things happen when we pray. God helps us when we pray. Prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best that God can do. I want every person to stand to your feet. I want every person to stand to your feet.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.